Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first Thursday of 2012. Welcome to The Consciousness Shift. It's part of Hear Me Monsters Radio Productions. We're a drumline of little radio shows that are supporting the Occupy movement globally. I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry. My co-host is Nicole Tomasini. She's up in New York City. I'm down in South Florida. And we're going to be talking about, what we're going to be talking about is maybe the most important part of Occupy movement, our moment of planetary evolution. That's in achieving a consciousness shift across the entire planet. Occupy is the first tangible sign I've seen of that really manifesting. So we're on our way. Join us. And I'm going to play a little song to introduce the show, and we'll get right back to you after it's played.
Bye.
So let the way of women guide democracy, and from plunder and pollution in Mother Earth be free. Feminism ain't about women, but that's not who it is for. It's about shifting consciousness and bringing into war. So listen up, you fathers, listen up, you sons, and tell me which side are you on now? Which side are you on?
Don't you just love it? The question is, which side are you on? Nicole, are you with me?
I am. Fantastic song, Glenn. Great choice.
Yeah, it's brand spanking new. It's Andy DeFranco and Pete Seeger giving some booyah to an ancient but wonderful American ditty.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, we're sitting at a catalyst moment. This is going to be, for me, more of my venue than actually the Sunday political straight politics kind of show is, because, hey, I'm the blender before I'm anything else, right?
Yeah, and you can get some of that booga booga in there. That's what I always like when you do that.
Booga booga. So we got politics and booga booga following Occupy. Well, it is. We're looking at a hell of a winter solstice coming up. We're sitting at a catalyst moment in the planetary ascension movement. All of the friends in the ascension crowd at the end of 2011, the beginning of 2012, and looking at the most potent winter solstice in 26,000 years. Now, that's not booga booga, Nick. That's actually the astronomer saying, hey, listen, it's a great year. The Greeks called it a great year. But it means that we're precessing out of one age and into the next, and we're coming into a alignment with the ecliptic of the center or heart of heaven, the center of our galaxy. And one of the guys on Facebook that is part of the Roundtree 7 group, he's part of our journey room. You get in and out of there, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
His name is Tim Waters. He found a piece today about how the Spitzer telescope has taken a picture of this wonderful, extraordinary gaseous condition that is surrounding that what we call the Milky Way drift in the sky, you know, where you can see the center of the Milky Way, and basically you point to it and, oh, my gosh, there's all the stars that are the Milky Way galaxy up there, that drift, that rift in the middle of the sky of all the stars, and in the center is what we're coming to an alignment with. It's believed to be a black hole. And we spoke about it briefly on Cosmic Comedy a few months back because they put a plasma filter on, I think it was the Hubble, and they took a photograph, and that photograph revealed that there was plasma gas extending over 160 light years out of either side of the elliptic from the center of the galaxy. And what a lot of scientists or astronomers are wondering is if they're looking at a black hole turning white. And, of course, if that's true, it's already happened. You know, we're seeing things how many billions of years before it gets to us, right? Our picture of the night sky. That just, I'm just going to ask you. You know, you go out and you blow a joint on the back deck and you sit there and think about it a minute, and it just doesn't, like, pull you out of your body to think, wait a minute, let me get this straight. Okay, I'm looking at the sky, but it's not really the sky. It's the sky that was.
Right. And it's now for me, but isn't really anymore, right?
It all
bends your mind on the time, bending mind on time.
So basically they found, I saw this piece that Tim Waters had posted.
Yeah,
that,
I saw it as well, and I changed it to my my computer screen, because I was like, well.
My God, so did I. So
did you?
Me. Oh,
right? I was like, well, I can't think of a better picture to look at. I mean, I'm sorry. We have a picture of the center of our galaxy that has this ellipsis that looks like the infinity sign, that band of whatever, kind of riding around, and then there's that rock in the middle. I was like, I have to look at this all the time and know where this is.
Well,
I wonder
how
many other people did that. Go ahead.
It's really crazy. It's very cosmic, of course. But, I mean, that's going on. And October 28th of 2011 was the end of the Maya long count, the HAB calendar, and so now we're headed into this final alignment. It's 25 years since harmonic convergence. And what does all of that mean? That means that we've had 25 years in which to clean up our act, basically. And the first manifest moment of us really getting down and serious with it seemed to have happened last spring, when a young man self-immolated and everybody said enough, right? Began in northern Africa through the Arab countries, and it ended up on the 17th of September with a lot of people walking into Zuccotti and saying, we're occupying Wall Street. And the world has kind of sprung up and mushroomed all across the planet with all of these extra, you know, satellites of solidarity, and it's going strong still.
Wow.
And
it's true. And to think about how far we've come in just 8 or 9 months, I mean, now, you know, there was a time not long ago that when you said Occupy Wall Street, it was a brand new thing, but now doesn't it feel like, well, of course it is, and of course it's happening? That's how it feels.
It, you know what? Yeah, of course it's happening. You know, I kept looking. I mean, it's been my job since 1991. I've been discussing this year with many people all, you know, through Europe and back over here on the West Coast. Whenever I've gone out as, you know, the blender and done my gig, given the seminars, talking about all of the tools that our ancestors left to us to keep us in balance with this planet are so important right now. And bringing our vision back to a more cosmic one. You know, when we're looking at our world through the lens of this is home and thinking about home as being the planet and not just, you know, hey, this is my house, get off my lawn, but this is my planet. And I love my home that much, too, you know.
Absolutely.
When when that kind of vision, because, you know, the solar system, our star, is our life giver. That's where all those regeneration God stories come from. It's from our sun giving us life. And a sanctity, a sacredness that all of our ancestors were able to cherish, you know, and bring to a community. And it's been a long time of walking with that kind of information and putting out the tools and all of that. And the first man, you know, have you sort of, you keep going, you keep the faith, you keep walking with it, but until really last year, in the spring of last year, probably more like the summer, I had not seen anything that would make me say, point to it on planet Earth and say, there it is, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Yeah. Well, I thought about with the whole Egypt uprising and all of this. I thought of with our economy and also with our with the healthcare. It seemed like all of that was the beginning to me. It started to crunch things because, you know, healthcare affects everyone, economy affects everyone, and it started, like you said, with the Eastern Bloc doing their changeover. So yeah, and then living down here with Wall Street, watching that whole thing, it's true. You do, I would hope that you would have to have the sense of, you know, we're all cleaning up our own act and cleaning up the best we can the acts around us. And, you know, it's a big job. Clearly.
Well, you know, there's so many different ways to approach it's just extraordinary. I'm sorry, I got caught up in the in looking at the chat room, and I want to say hello to the chat room, to Stephanie and to all of the folks in there, including Diane G, Ms. Diane G, from the Wild Wild Left, which anybody can hear on Friday afternoons, well, early evenings at 6. Or is that 5? 5 or 6? She's going to type it in, and I will know. I always screw up the time for Wild Wild Left, but it's a fabulous show. And it brings all of this question to bear from the political end, from the very left political end, which is, you know, that's in front of us. I took to, you know, after being in a hospital, I took to the doggone, you know, okay, it's at 6, I was right. I took to activism to express, you know, my frustration with getting things going. Do you know what I mean? And also, it's been so long of watching and waiting, and how come we're watching and waiting and not taking action, you know?
Mm-hmm. But I think that's got to be part of it, the fact that you felt that. A lot of people felt that. And,
well, and a lot of people
put it in action. And look what grew out of it.
You know, the folks that are spending their time day in and day out, and I know quite a few. And the best I have done is attend a few down here and give support with the technical side, which, you know, someone in New York was just arrested for doing. They actually went and arrested and kicked the technical staff for Occupy Wall Street right out of the building.
Yeah. And said, I mean, put a notice up that it was unfit for human life or something in there. I was like, yeah, that's on another level.
in New York yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was like, I can't wait to see what this repercussion is for doing that. That's what?
Well, and there's this huge cosmic opportunity standing there. What's the opportunity, this evolutionary leap, and these guys are throwing kids out that are guys or individuals out who are running the technical end of Global Revolution and the Occupy Wall Street cameras. They're the, you know, I think what they're saying, the message is that your technology, we can shut your technology down. That's what they're trying to say.
Of course.
Are they doing it? I don't think anybody thinks they're doing it. You know, SOPA, we just scofflawed SOPA by playing Annie DeFranco and Pete Seeger, you know? That version of which side are you on, we just scofflawed SOPA. So, you know, it's when people understood what that meant, you know, like basically shutting down a great deal of the Internet and the resources we use to communicate with one another symbolically and artistically and culturally. When they did that, man, people, GoDaddy was, you know, that site, they lost thousands of customers, so they pulled out right away. A lot of companies did. You know what they care about? They care about the money.
Sure.
It's the greed thing. That's the big issue, the money. That's
sure.
What the big issue is. So basically, we're in the home stretch of the cosmic opportunity here.
Which really has a lot to do with fear. It's always that, right? When do I have enough? I don't have enough. Or I need to have all of it, whatever. It's really that money is that fear. It is about that.
It's definitely been a large part of it, and basically that's why Occupy Wall Street was the central message. Over 5,300 people have been arrested so far in the movement, and its ongoing efforts to bring the awareness up and to make some sort of really, really huge shift in the political conversation and consciousness of not just this country, but the whole planet, really, by saying the profiteering corporations, that's enough. It's been the core. Money has been the core of the whole thing. I think you can safely say that every Occupy movement, too, in every city, no matter what issue they are focusing on, and, you know, they're all pretty unique, there is that issue, that core, that central money issue that revolves around everything. And I think that's probably the huge fear button that everybody has to get over right now, you know?
Yes. Yes. And the fact that this is the lesson for us to all get over our own fear and to manifest exactly what we want to do in the world that we want to see. And in the meantime, there's also the idea of there absolutely should be enough for everyone. And of course, we need to stop that stranglehold with the 1%. So, but it's so interesting to me. I see the inner struggle of my own, you know, what my parents gave me as my poverty consciousness or whatever DNA is written there, and moving past that and following following my bliss and making sure that I'm happy and making sure that I know that I will be provided for as long as I do what I need to do for me to make my life what I want it to be and why I'm here. And then at the same time, you have all this, you gotta put it into practice also with these things, like which companies do you pay money to or buy things at, and stop that stranglehold on the side so that the actual money, the material money, can flow freely where it needs to go. So I think it's an interesting double-sided dance of like inner and outer that we're going through right now.
Oh, that's definitely there. We have the yin and the yang, or the double negative and the double positive to dance to. It requires all kinds of people participation, But, you know, what we're working towards is that critical mass, that, I mean, look, it's not just the political activists and the youth and the older generation and all of these very courageous people who we do have a caller. I want the caller to know. I will answer in a moment, so don't hang up. We also have the participation of, you know, 25 years of hundreds of thousands now all over the world, healers, teachers, and medicine people from the spiritual, metaphysical, new age, I don't care, new conscious awareness community. You've got a lot of names for it, but there's been a group of us out there who have been working through spiritual traditions towards this too. And I think it's taken everybody by surprise. Slowly, everybody's turning around in this community and saying, wow, look at what is happening within the political conversation globally right now. It's and these are people who walk out with a daily resonance and vision of a balanced, healthy Earth Mother with a species regeneration and planetary vitality renewing. We're looking for that 144,000 critical mass transmutation point. And, wow, there's Occupy. The 100th monkey is dancing very closely. Nothing up my sleeve but my iPhone, you know. But it's true. Let me open up the microphone to the caller. If I could. Here I'm trying. Hello.
Hello. Hey, Gwen, it's David.
Hey, Krell, how are you tonight?
Not bad. I'm just left work, so I'm hoping my highway noises and stuff aren't coming through on the microphone. You can't hear all the cars zipping by me, can you?
Not so far. Not so far.
Oh, good. I just really wanted to call in just so I could hear the show. You know, I'm sort of, like I said, in transit, so I just listened to the show.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, cool. We'll go on. Pipe in anytime you want. I think it's honestly true that all magicians everywhere, it's like nothing up my sleeve but an iPhone, you know?
Exactly. iPhone.
If you think about it, and that includes, of course, the BlackBerry, the, you know, any form of communication, but that has been the trigger for all of this successful and ongoing successfulness with Occupy.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think that it's an ideal time in the history that, I mean, there's rarely been an instance before where the ability of the common man can communicate with anybody across the world. I mean, we still seem to have that up to a point with the internet. And the thing is that you're getting like-minded people that are saying, hey, you know, we're not going to take all this crap that's being handed to us from our government. And other people from other countries will look at that and say, hey, why do I have to put up with that kind of crap from my government? They're battling for their rights here. And it acts as a binding force. And it's never really happened before in history. I never has there been an instance where everybody can sort of bring themselves together. You know, I look at it like a swarm where all these bees before, they were loners, but now everybody can come together.
Oh, and you put up a wonderful post at Roundtree 7 on that. The title of it was the Swarming.
Yeah, it's Swarming the Future of Protest.
Right,
and it really wasn't an answer to the question. It was more just sort of bringing up the topic and seeing what comments came by. I mean, it's a very fascinating subject, and there's certainly a lot of people, not just protesters, but government people that are looking into that, you know. On the government side, they're looking at, like, these little nanobots that will sort of converge on an enemy. But the thing is, it's a double-sided sword. It could be used for protesting to throw off the oppression of the very governments that are trying to use it. So,
and interesting too,
idea we were speaking of fear, because, you know, if you see that all these other people are feeling or going through the same things, where you can reach out to whoever, whether you know them or not, and it can start to eliminate your own fear. And on the flip side of what you said, I'm very, big advocate of signing petitions, and, you know, there has to be, if you get 360,000 signs within like 3 hours, I think it seems to be working, that whatever we're petitioning against, it seems to have an effect. So that too, it gives you this quick and easy vehicle and voice that seems to get things done pretty quickly if it works for it.
Well, that's a very good point. And even if the petition doesn't succeed in what it's attempting to, what it's doing is showing other people of like minds that they're not the only ones that feel this way. So even if a petition doesn't get this objective done, it still acts as a reinforcing tool for the emotion of people that are trying to make change. So
right. And maybe even somebody looks at it and goes, oh, what is this and what's happening? And maybe somebody else understands a little more about what's going on and they share it as well, even if they don't even sign it. So you're right.
Exactly. Right? That's how people come together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting take on the law of attraction. People, and like I said, we are headed towards a critical mass here. One of those people that gives very the 100th monkey effect, as Sheldrake's morphogenic field. You know, we should do a show on that alone. I mean, you know, as my mother used to say, you know, birds of a feather.
Exactly.
And it is quite true, birds of a feather. They really do.
Thank God they do, because otherwise you kind of feel like a bird by yourself, like, you know, when, like, everyone else is talking in, like, some sort of bizarre language. You're like, what? So thank God for that law. I just had to put that in.
Yeah, well, that's really quite true. While we are focused on speaking right now for the moment about the Occupy movement, which is a string through them all, you know, not many people realize that in Japan and Israel, the citizens have been protesting in solidarity in greater numbers. And the media, of course, the mainstream media has been locked out of the news cycle for a couple of months now, or more so for the last few weeks. Apparently, there have been.
I can't really hear you, Gwen. I can hear Krell's the noise from the car.
Oh, sorry. I'm gonna go ahead and hang up and then try to catch you on the radio at home. I'm coming up here. So, all right. Well, thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Good night,
thanks,
Krell.
Bye.
But I didn't mean to kick him off. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. Ed, can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. So, what were you saying?
Well, I was saying that in Japan and Israel, the citizens, the ordinary citizens, you think of the issues that are going on in Japan and in Israel right now. Many Israelis are against what the Knesset and the Old Boy Network are pulling over there. They want a two-state solution and fairness with the Palestinian people. They don't want all of this war. They don't want to have their families growing up as they did to, you know, serve everybody who is born into Israel has to give service to a military. They want that to end. And then, of course, Japan right now is uber sensitive because they're dealing with probably the worst nuclear catastrophe on the face of the planet. And people seem willing to buy that there's not really much to worry about with it. You know, like cesium isn't draining daily into the Pacific Ocean. they're basically right below me here on the other side of the planet, but what their currents bring to is the west coast of the United States and, Hawaii. And so the people of Japan and the people of Israel have been aligned with the Occupy movement and protesting in their streets, too. And we're not hearing much about that at all, are we?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Interesting. Why? Because their governments are blocking it from coming out, or ours is? Or
well, our media, the mainstream media, is mostly corporate messaging. NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, they're all paid for with corporate dollars, and they also have aligned it, though. If you want to speak the truth, you're going to pay the price, which is usually getting kicked off. Look at Cenk Uygur and Keith Olbermann. They're over at Current with Al Gore. And
even on the internet, though. I haven't seen, you know, a lot of times those are really...
Well, you have to know where to look for it in the internet. If you go to Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, you will find that information. You'll get the truth. They give you really what's going on. You'd be surprised how many people think that Fox News is telling them the truth.
That's hilarious. Our first joke of the season.
I opened up the line for a caller from area code 509. Your mic is open.
All righty there. You occupy Spokane, Nick and Lynn. How are you, ladies?
Hello.
Oh, we're fine. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. You know, you're actually talking about what we talk about on our shows that we do and on Blog Talk Radio and on our live stream. We also do an hour on live stream. But we talk about the corporations, and we actually relate Occupy to the corporations in that. And that's what we do. We give you the information that the news media isn't giving you. I mean, if you look at Fox News or CNN or some of the other ones out there, what they're giving you is a bunch of propaganda. We've preached that for over 2 years on our radio show. And they're garbage. I mean, if you want the truth, you can probably get more of the truth from people like yourself, our show, or Diane's show, or et cetera, there on Blog Talk Radio.
It's really going to get
from the news media. Go ahead.
It really is quite true. You have to use what we call due diligence. You know, you really want to know that what you're listening to is not a device to drive you out and purchase some kind of health insurance or new medication or an impulse to go to the refrigerator. You follow where I'm going with this, right?
I'm 64 years old, and I've been around the block. I mean, I can remember the Eisenhower years. Well, I should say I'll be 64 Friday, tomorrow. But, you know, I'm really proud of what Occupy is doing, and that's why we support Occupy. I mean, our webpage is dedicated to Occupy, as well as our live stream and our Blog Talk Radio. I mean, you know, anybody that can sit there in front of their TVs and watch people dragged across the street beat up, hit with tear gas in the face, shot with rubber bullets in the neck. I mean, you know, that makes no sense to me, and yet still have sympathy for the police department. I mean, give me a break. You know, I was reading a couple articles real quick just a couple of days ago there, where even the NYPD in New York, their benefits are being cut. So I don't know why the hell they'd be sticking up for New York City. That's all corporate money. And these are things we talk about on our show. Like, that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow is corporations, because we dug up a couple of good articles to talk about that tomorrow. But I actually called in just to welcome you ladies, since it's only been me and Diane, I think. And Diane, I think, came on after we've been doing it, because we've been doing it for almost 6 months here as Occupy Spokane. But I'm really glad to see somebody else on there besides just me and Diane doing Occupy. I mean, we might not get very many people in the chat room, but that's all right. I have over 14,000 listeners from my... when I was doing politics over on the conservative side. But, you know, those are people that you're not going to convince one way or the other. You know, if they're so stuck on the Tea Party and the Tea Party Express, yet they don't realize that the Tea Party and Tea Party Express, their money they get is from corporations and big bankers and Wall Street and et cetera. And they're all about pushing the same lame old politicians in there that we've had from God knows when. I mean, whether you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, I mean, our political system really truly needs to be changed. I mean, it's so entrenched with money from corporations and et cetera that it's unbelievable. 3,000 some lobbyists, there's like two lobbyists or almost three lobbyists to every politician that's up there in Congress. Three. Wow. You know, that doesn't make no sense to me. You know, but yet people don't want to believe that. You know, they want to believe what the main media puts out there or the propaganda. You know, I always say on our show, I guess the news media out there learned very well from World War I and World War II how to put the propaganda out there, you know. It's ridiculous. I like that movie I say all the time, Hunt for Red October, where they say a small revolution sometimes never hurt anything, and you wonder about that sometimes. Are we heading to that direction? You know, that's scary. That's a scary thought. You know, you pray every day it doesn't.
I'm speaking with Nick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're speaking with Nick.
What's the name of your show? Occupy Spokane?
It's in your chat room. It's Occupy Spokane, Nick and Lynn, because we're from Spokane, Washington, and we are part of Occupy Spokane in Spokane, Washington. And it's
wonderful. I will remember to mention your show. I really thank you for calling in. Thanks.
Well, you get a chance to check out our webpage, Annette. And like I said, I just called in and wish you good luck on your show. And I'm going to switch over to Diane's show and check out Diane for a little while. I like going over there and listening to her. She does an awesome job as well there. All right, ladies, I'll let you go.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too.
Wow. That's like the welcoming committee came over. That's fantastic.
It is. I was hearing myself sort of echo, which can happen with more than one caller on, I found out. I have got to get myself a professional-grade microphone, I think is what it is. But I really want to thank Nick and Lynn from Occupy Spokane, and the web address for their show is in our chat room, a link for anyone who wants to get it. I hope you'll go over and listen to them. Now, Diane G has the Wild, Wild Left Blog Talk Radio Show, and let me remind everyone that's Fridays at 6 p.m. And before Diane, Nick, let me get this drum line out so people know, because we're doing sort of an Occupy Together group of radio shows on Fridays now. And it's all sort of tied around Diane G's show, which is Wild Wild Left. It's on at 6 p.m. An hour before is Dusty Taylor with What's Jerking My Chain. And in the evenings is, of course, Pinko the Bear, who is just one of the great radio guys we got hanging in the crowd. And he is Occupy Reno, and he's also been on the air for about 3 years with this, and he does a wonderful show. He is Stream of Consciousness.
Cool. Right up my alley.
So I got all of that out, and we were at the 100th monkey, weren't we?
Yes. What is the 100th monkey?
Okay, well, you know what? This is one of Asa's old teaching stories about critical mass, and basically Rupert Sheldrake, a scientist who's still alive, who did a lot of wonderful groundbreaking research in morphogenic fields. You know, he basically worked with the, you know, unseen limb effect when somebody amputates, and how the aura and even sometimes the X-ray can be can be gathered of the limb that has been amputated. Thank you. Usually it's pounds. It's nothing like being a crone. He basically found this story, and a man by the name of Ken Keyes wrote a little book that AC used to carry around. Basically, it's a story of these Japanese scientists in the early 40s, or the late early 50s, excuse me, not the 40s, the 50s, we're all at war then, but in the 50s, they basically were studying these monkeys on islands in the Pacific. I don't remember the breed. But there were the same breed of monkeys throughout all these South Pacific islands. But the scientists were basically observing and working with the monkeys on just one island. And they used to feed them sweet potatoes. There were sweet potato crops all through these islands. And it was a favorite food of these monkeys. Anyways, they would throw the sweet potatoes down on the beach. And, of course, the sweet potatoes would have sand and such all over them. They weren't too palatable that way. But one of the little monkeys, one of the children monkeys, I don't know, chimp, began to wash his in the water, got all the sand off it, ate more potatoes, enjoyed it a whole lot more, and basically spread the word amongst the rest of the young monkeys that this is what you got to do to really enjoy your food. Well, basically, of course, then the adults saw this going on, and of course the group began to all do that. A funny thing happened, and they had charted what they thought was 99 of the monkeys learning to clean the sand off the sweet potatoes. When that 99th monkey had learned to clean the sand off of the potatoes, in other words, all the monkeys had learned the trick, a day later, on an island like 160 miles away, all of the monkeys on that island began to wash their potatoes. They, in other words, achieved a conscious critical mass. And they call all the rest of the monkeys the 100th monkey. And the effect is that once an idea has taken root within the species, there's no way to pull it back. It will travel. It will become resonant within the species.
Wow. What a great story. Wow. And that's like between here and like Delaware, from New York to Delaware. That means 100 people here do something, and somebody starts doing it in Delaware. That's amazing.
Well, if they do it regularly and it makes sense, I mean, there is a criteria for it, but basically, yeah, that's what happens. And if you're really interested in knowing the details of that story, you can just look it up. It's all over the internet. But the point is that we're basically at a critical mass level, and I didn't know that. I walked towards it, worked towards it, just the same way you have for the years that you've been involved in the spirituality of the planet. The first real manifest, well, I can't say it's the first manifestation of global consciousness. I mean, the real manifestation or the tangibility of it is the internet itself. Still in all, the use of that on a mundane level or in the physical world, making it real, has been the Occupy movement. And I include the Arab Spring in that, you know, the whole outbreak of revolution, if you will. I'd rather say evolution.
Sure. Well, obviously, the 100 monkey story. I mean, that's, wow. It really, you know, it's funny. It's nothing that I don't know, right? It's nothing that I don't know can happen. But I find that part of my personal getting to my own 99 monkeys, I guess you could say, every time I hear another story or another fact of, listen, this is exactly what happened. It's no longer a belief. It's that. It's what happened. And I know this. But every time I hear a story about it, it's like another monkey within myself gets it. You know, you can feel it. It's so great.
Well, I understand exactly what you're saying. And when you're looking at things, well, I have to acknowledge that Tricia Poole has walked in to listen to us for a while, too. Hello, P.E. Nolan. You missed your song, honey. Played it at the beginning.
Yeah.
The brand spanking new, Which Side Are You On? You got to hear that one. Anyways, yes, absolutely agree with you. And you know, the other thing about all of this is, too, it's still a new year, and there's been all kinds of prognostication about this new year. It's the year of Oya within the IFA, or the folks down here in the Caribbean of the Yoruban traditions and with their Orishas. And what they have predicted, their prognostications are very famous in the Caribbean basin. And this year is a year of Oya, a goddess, and within the Ifa goddess within their traditions. And they came out with their prognostications, and they talk about it being a year of warfare and confrontation, but of transitions, both in the social, political, and economic spheres that is going to be fast and bold. They also feel that there's going to be an increase in seismic movement, and we should be paying attention to our relationships and everything that has to do with keeping our homes and houses sturdy, which I know my sister has just moved into a new house. I'm planning on trying to make my house concrete above me. I know other people are getting ready to move or to choose a new home. So
my roommate's moving out.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's a big shift, because generally you do have a roommate to help you make bills, right? Like me.
Yeah, and I'm looking to have someone else, you know, come in, so we'll see, you know, change the energy up. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Right. There are nimble solutions to any existing problem, and that's what's going to be right in front of our faces all year long. I'm going to bring up ladies' website that I found called Transitions. It's written by a lady by the name of Denise LaFay, and she's so insightful on both the mundane and the more metaphysical levels. But
it's called transitions.com?
It is. It's actually called Denise LaFay. .wordpress.com, and I'll put the the website's address right in here, and give folks a chance to take a look at it while they give a listen, and I hope nobody minds, because I basically did get this opening song to play. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Gwen, where did you go? you have a balloon attached. Is that what's going on? No, I'm going to play a song for Tricia, We all heard it at the opening, but I'm going to play it over again. We'll take a little break, and we'll come back at it when this is done. Everybody gets a chance to look at transition. All righty. Listen to
it's
side are you on now? Which side are you?
Talking about a little bit different venue here. This is Here Be Monsters. So it's also a more booga-booga venue. So bringing up some of the points we want to be discussing ongoing in tandem with the Occupy manifestation. We need to be ready to let go of whatever limiting patriarchal belief systems, religious beliefs, personal identity beliefs, and residual lower emotions or lower chakra issues we have this year. It's something we've been talking about for a long time, and you can see all of that as a big old mystery play in the streets with occupies all over the country. That's exactly what is going on with all of the violence and brutality of the cops against peaceful protesters who are trying against great repression to bring about a message that will be listened to. And they are changing the conversation, but it's all lower chakra issues. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're being challenged right now to let go of these things, especially the patriarchal belief systems and the religious beliefs. This "my God's better than your God" nonsense has to fade. It has to be released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Gilliland just put out did you see that? A video speaking on the idea of God. And how really enough already? Like God is whatever God is, and just enough. I mean, he says it obviously. He puts a lot of conversation in it. And I have to say, as a side note, there's like a very interesting sound going on behind. If you watch the video, I don't know if it's a person calling or a hawk or what, but it's his trans. And I'm like, okay, I know he's a UFO guy. Like, how many beings are around him to give this strange sound? You have to hear it. But anyway, it's a great message on what you just said.
Well, and remember that when we're doing all of that, what we're doing is, you know, it's time to shift our vision. We really do have to shift our vision back to a cosmic one, because this heliocentric monotheistic I'm starting to speak like a freaking academic. I'm sorry. This...
it's great, though. It's great when you can pull that out. But you're right. I mean, you have
right
to use these words for it.
this earth-based, fear-based, you know, vision of I've got to put up boundaries and, you know, feeding the greasy, smoking, hot, war machine for the profiteering corporations. All this shit's got to stop, man. And there's another thing. There's a very personal side to this with the God thing. We have placed our self-respect, our self-authenticity outside of ourselves into an other. The other holds the divine nature. We are not divine. Hell, I was brought up to think that I was born yucky and bloody with sin, you know? I mean, when I understood what that meant, I was like, hell, goodbye. No more Catholicism for me. But the concept of original sin, that is something that you get when you're you know, raised a Catholic and put through parochial school and everything, that's one of the concepts of this. And it's really sick. It's very twisted. It teaches you to place your sacred nature, your sacred individual humanity, outside of yourself and into something else, a nasty old sky goblin who's going to swoop down and ride herd on you, honey, if you right down to hell if you commit a mortal sin kind of thing. And if you take a look at the way politics are playing out right at this moment, the fabulous cosmic mystery play of good and evil and dark and light, and I mean, we got Darth Vader in the guise of Cheney. I mean, Hillary gave us that little, you know, alignment. But if you take a look at what's parading before the television for people, Tricia always thinks of John McCain and that. Well, I just don't think John has that much oomph myself. But here's the thing.
He's more like a R2-D2 or a C-3PO gone wrong or something.
But the great cosmic mystery plays that give us our vision, you know, our greater scope. Do you know anybody who doesn't get in a cab or onto a bus, or even I did most of my channeling when I was driving, you know, that place you go to where you create that mythical self within, you know? We all have that mythical self. And that life we create for ourselves, that dream time, and that holds our vision, our spiritual vision. I don't think if people really understand that. And when it's crushed and atrophied by fear, you know, with this one-eyed sky goblin stuff, it's just... it's the time and the place is over with, man. We're losing ground here. Our planet cries out for the mother. You know what I mean? We need to mother our planet. We don't need to, you know, warlord our planet anymore. We've got the technology, and I know we've got plenty of motherfucking plastic, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And that brings me to, it's also, you know, self-responsibility between the church saying that you're just automatically sinful and that you need to find your powers elsewhere. It also takes away yourself, or can take away your self-responsibility, which also means that not only are you not noticing that everything you do and everything you're tracking is, you know, done from self, but you also don't get that satisfaction of saying, you know, I understand that I used to do this, but now I do this because I made a choice and I decided that I wanted to be like this and put out this kind of energy, and it was me and I did the work, working along with my higher self, and that's it. It's not because I said 14 Hail Marys and somebody outside of themselves decided to forgive me, right? And
well,
then... Mm-hmm.
Well, no, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. Well, you know, the thing is that we do this absolutely wonderful thing when we're kneeling and praying and learning all about that. We're learning about the art of meditation. It's just not so confined as you would be told by a priest or someone from a church that wants you to think that the only way for you to enjoy that kind of self-sustaining serenity, if you will. Oh, that was good, wasn't it? Shall we
write
it down?
That was fantastic. I think we need to write that down. I was like, oh.
Yeah, we got one every now and then, but here's the thing. You can do this anytime, any place, anywhere. It's your divine right. It's your nature. The ancient Egyptians had a saying. They said, those who do not know that they are the gods will never know. You know, they'll never know a god.
Right.
And basically, we're being asked to remember. And the reason that we're being asked to face all of these things and plow through them, all of these, especially the emotional issues of the lower chakra. And that means that we have to face all that karmic stuff. And you know, the people that we find such close companionship with in life and partnership with are the people we have probably traveled with many times. And this time I think we're enabling ourselves to make things brand new, crystal clear. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Heal the relationship and heal ourselves. So that means that basically we have forgiveness as our big tool. If we can learn to forgive. And it takes a lot. Sometimes you have to fake it till you make it.
Yes. Absolutely, and it's true. With all the people who are your true, you know, your core, all those people that have come in whatever shape or form that you realize that, especially right now, are your peeps. You know, I know in my circle, I wouldn't have certain ones of them if I didn't get over myself to certain things where I thought that relationship should go that way. And they needed to get over some certain things as well. But the ones that survived, I can't imagine going through this time without them. And they feel the same way. It's like, again, with the birds of a feather flocking together. Well, as long as you can all have, you know, clean enough feathers, we can all fly at the same pace and, you know, keep a nice V going, right?
I hear you there. I will say this, that light exercise, creative visualization, the kind of healing work that the healing techniques that healers work with and you know, Reiki healers and basically all kinds of spiritual healing goes on that way. The creative visualizations that we've been using for the last 20 years are more potent and powerful than ever before, and we need to remember to be working with them, especially in connecting up the brain. And I was really surprised to see that on the to-do list from Transitions, because every time I do a workshop or anything like, that's the one thing I will, you know. You have to do the light work on connecting your left and right brain, because that's what brings balance, you know.
Tell people how to do that in case people don't know. How do you do that?
Creative visualization is about using imagineering, you know. You imagine if you can, it's as simple as if you can imagine a apple sitting on a kitchen table and see it in your mind's eye. Well, that's creative visualization. If you can wrap that apple with white light, with a glowing white light, or a halo, if you will, then you're working with healing energy. You're healing the apple. Colors mean something. They are an intensity or a standard of energy that you can produce in your white light creative visualization techniques. What I do is I lay in bed at night before I'm going to sleep, and it's my form of meditation or healing exercise, whatever. But I've what you really need to do is understand the construction of the human brain. These are our vehicles, you know, and if we use our light bodies, which is what you're doing when you work with creative visualization, to awaken your physical body, because really we're not using a lot of what we have on board, as they say. So
yes,
connecting up your right and left brain, you know, that left brain really needs to be nudged along. And the difference, the simple difference is a yin and yang, or male, female. Your right brain, the one we use most often, so logical, is our male side. And the left brain, which is our more intuitive and creative side, is the feminine brain. But when they are awakened and working in harmony, well, frankly, that also awakens extra sensuality or extra sensory abilities, and it enables you to have a broader, more expanded or elastic experience and ability with everyday life. I don't know where I was going. I was trying to look for the right conclusion with that. But
well, I asked, that was great. I mean, that was fantastic.
Well, basically, turning on the brain is what I think most of the evolutionary process is for the species of humanity. If people have a balanced brain, how can they be, you know, thunder-cutting their neighbors for, you know, war machines and digging out all the natural resources of the planet and you know, basically destroying the world? And it's that kind of balance that we're reaching for. So it's really very important right now at this time to work with creative visualization, to work with light. White light is the quickest, easiest, and strongest of light frequencies to work with when you're doing that kind of creative visualization work.
Nice.
Question?
I have a question. I don't have a question. It was so, I love when you answer things like that. It gives you the whole thing, man. So it's great. It's really great.
Well, so working with the creative visualization is a real important task this year. There's we were talking about this on Cosmic Comedy about the multidimensional awareness, and I am very convinced that the little triggers, the little peaks into that are these instances. It's like a nanosecond that stops time, you know, and it unfolds in this sentient memory of the past. It's almost like going back and living it. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. You don't really leave, but you do.
I feel like that's what just happened. When you asked and you stopped talking, I was like, I don't know. I feel like the entire thought was finished, and I was sort of floating in this moment after it. Like, I don't really think I had a thought. It just sort of folded on top of itself.
Well, you know, I think that these little things increase your conscious awareness, and it surprises you. There's a surprising, oh my God, effect to this, because it's like everything's normal for a long period of time, and then, oops, all of a sudden you stumble onto, oh my God. Well, that's a wonderful thing to hear. P. Nolan was entirely lost in a glorious sunbeam. I like that. That's very nice, because that's very healing. Can you imagine bathing yourself in a sunbeam and being absolutely healed in it? I mean, and we're so cold down here right now, you know, that it warms me up to hear it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So those light techniques are very important. And again, paying attention to your imagination and where that's taking you, because I think our fascination right now is a big, huge tool for us.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and also, you can see where, you know, sometimes your fascination or your creativity goes in some sort of way that you don't need to go, and then it can go into fear. So, but if you use that vehicle correctly, boy, oh boy, isn't that where all the good stuff comes from, especially as a creative person?
Well, that's really quite true. Also, there are people who are going to get like sort of slingshot effect. There are people who don't realize that they're naturals at it, that they have this ability, that they can just snap through to it. When we used to have the shop open, people were, you know, 15 years ago, were doing things and shocking themselves, and they'd go into a kind of a emotional, oh, my God, you know, this is real. And it would shock them. It would give them a huge wake-up. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there are going to be a lot of people having huge wake-ups. I think a lot of people are going to begin to have dreams that affect their everyday life and their decisions that urge them to make choices in certain directions. You know, most folks, I've always thought, and my friend Steve Gones always loves to argue this one with me, but I have always thought, and I really want to know what your opinion is. I'd love to know what P. Nolan's opinion of this one, Trisha's opinion of this one is, and anyone else out there. I have always thought that most people are good at heart. You know, I don't think people are moreover bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's always bunches more good people in the crowd than there are bad. How's that? Does that make difference?
Yeah, that makes sense. My mother always taught me that, and I always believed that. And then I started to see more of the dark side and see where it hides and all those things. And I would like to think that everybody is good at heart, but I also think that some people or some things here are not really from that same place that we're talking about, where everything comes from love. So that's the only asterisk that I would put on there. But I used to agree with you until recently.
Well, I know that not everyone is. I've recognized that. Since I quit smoking cigarettes, I've been able to see a lot of the darkness. And it's difficult for me sometimes to actually disengage the darkness. I mean, there's darkness attached to me. You know, I knock my foot against the refrigerator or the table and I cuss like a bastard, and then I turn around and I'm in a fit for, you know, maybe 5 minutes. Well, that energy that I created in doing that, I can see that kind of subtle signature nowadays. I mean, not on myself, but on others. And I know damn good well that person is not a bad person, but here's this nastiness attached to them. And that's
sure.
What they call demons, you know? I mean, let's get real here.
Yeah, but I think all people actually are, you know, at the bottom and the end of the day, absolutely do come from love and love, absolutely. I just think some people are not necessarily people. That's basically what I think.
Well, that conversation to have, too, you know.
I know that's a separate thing, but you asked my opinion, so there it is. No need to discuss.
I swear to God, he was a lizard.
Wait, why did you say that again?
I can remember walking into the shop and telling Murphy once. I said, I swear to God, this guy out there, he's just a lizard. I know it.
See?
Terry, wait the fuck up. Just
exactly what I'm talking about. That's it.
But there are out there. I have opened the microphone to 202
Oh, hello, it's me.
Oh,
it's me. It's Tricia. Hello. Hello. I missed a little bit of what y'all were just saying because I had forgotten. It's like my brain was so dead to turn off my own sound so I wasn't echoing, you know. I just forgot how. My brain was dead because while you were talking about the white light energy and the healing of the white light exercise, I was like, all of a sudden, all this, like, I don't know, it was just like this rush just like emptied out of my shoulder, you know, that we've been working on. I don't know if people know about this. Gwendolyn made for me an essence, which I've been taking and imagining the white light healing around, especially this area of my shoulder. And while you were talking about all that stuff, I couldn't even talk because I was just like crying and all this just like released out of the shoulder. It was just like totally cool. And so I had to say before anything else that it was just like whatever. Anyway, it was awesome, cool. And there's something powerful in your voice, and you need to know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. But you know what? It's all about everyone now taking it and working with it on their own because you are the healer. Cool. You know
well, it's
that.
The white light thing. That's the power of the white light that you were talking about. I was like, holy fucking shit. And it was like, well, because I've been doing other work, too, and this and that, and I've been on a path lately that involves the Course in Miracles. And I think to be able to relax when everything is relax and be at peace for just a little while we're seeing what we're seeing and the darkness attached here and there and then, you know, overwhelming war machine and all. I mean, anyway, it's enough to put you in your bed. And it's nice to be able to have that white light. And the darkness you were talking about Nikki, right? Your name is Nikki?
Mine.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, you were talking about the darkness that was attached to everybody, and so to be able to just, like, every now and then connect with that little teeny bit of light, just like in Darth Vader, you know, there's just that one, like, Luke never gives up and on that little bit of light, and, you know, we don't have to talk about that anymore. And so anyhow, I mean, every now and then you can just grab it, and if you know it in yourself, you can see it in other people. And personally, I find it easier with strangers. The more you know somebody, the harder it is to see their light, I think, sometimes. But anyhow, I've been practicing on the subway.
Tricia, you know how to, and I'll tell you because I've done it on the subway in New York, do you know how to see the light better around people? What I do is, well, I'm a crone and a witch, and I basically cast circle in the minute, in a nanosecond around myself. In other words, I'll surround myself in a circle of white light, not exactly filling myself, but putting up an illumination and a protection, because you were talking a little about the dark, and I think it's important to let people know that we have to protect ourselves with our energy, and it's all in the intention with what you do with the white light.
Well, yeah, that's the cool thing about the essence and taking the drops. Anyway, it's awesome, cool. I'm really having fun with that. So thanks for the essence, Gwendolyn.
Well, true. Honestly, I always tell you, Gwen, you know, your creations are so powerful. And yes, we are the tool. And yes, you do. When you work with the light and your oils or essences, it just catapults you forward. I mean, I've had so many numerous, maybe not physical like Trisha's, but all kinds of release, but I don't know, you know, that was the greatest tool, and they're fun to work with, too.
Yeah, it's fun. Now,
Thank you.
It's fun. It's a little sexy. It's mysterious. Mm-hmm. And also, do you know
that's
what?
Right.
On Diane G's Facebook page, you know, links for the Wildly Left, today I admitted publicly for the first time I call myself a witch. So that's, you know, as we're all opening up and coming out, I call myself a middle-aged white witch. What's a middle-aged white witch to do? But anyway, so... okay, I have my little bubble around me like Glinda the Good, and I can, like, hang on to the Wizard of Oz right now. And anyway, I'm having fun. And so, no, it's but everything you're talking about with people moving and just, like, these physical transitions that are accompanying this greater shift. You know, like, I'm moving in a couple of months to a more permanent place. I've been transitioning, and now I'm settling in. But my kid has been at school now. He's moving home, and, you know, I've connected with some other people that are going through transition. So it's like this physical manifestation of what's happening on a spirit level, I guess.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, and
absolutely.
Remember, it's also, you know, what's going on here is there's a lot of clearing of lower chakra issues for all of us this year. So whatever it is, when you're moving, I think it's a great idea to, because I've just watched my younger sister go through this. She did such a wonderful job, really, because basically what she did was she moved, and of course there was a lot of issues connected with it, but as she moved, she released, allowed the past to be cleansed. You know, do you follow
mm-hmm,
what I'm
saying? Totally.
She left all the crap behind with intention.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I did the same thing. I had a wonderful time just shedding things for, you know, like 8 months. I knew I was going to move, and so I made the most of it, you know, and it was, you know, sometimes you pick up things and you cry and then you throw them in the trash, you know, but you really need to just...
That's so true. You're just like, ah, you have such a struggle with it, and then finally it's done, and you go, okay, there you go.
I know. I try to, like, you know, I connect with my inner Sandra D and throw myself on the bed and sob inside of a can. And then it's done, you know, 4 minutes max, you know, then throw the shit out. But in the moment, just feel it as deep as you can.
That's right. Release it all.
Right. Just go for it.
Well, another one of the good things that you can do with all of this when you're working with creative visualizations and light energy, it's not only is it the color of light performing different standards of energy healing for you, but it's also that you should always take your light energy from a source above. And for me, that's either the heart of the galaxy. I just, you know, zoom it on in from there and allow through intention and seeing it pour from that source, you know, it's a real good idea.
You know, well, I don't, you know, it just, I don't know. I'm like right now, it's like as far as I can imagine is our own sun, because I'm just beginning on this path of being able to, like, stretch out my breath so that it can touch, like, a galaxy tonight. But I think I can, you know, but it's growing, and it's just cool to know that when you're on the right path, I think you can feel it even if you're, you know, when you're just two or five steps on it, you know.
It's important. Like I was saying before, especially the political climate and all the change possible, it's really very important right now to remember that the vision that we hold, being more cosmic and less grounded on a neighborhood and house, but more in, you know, home is the planet, and a more cosmic view of things will help us to help the rest of the world understand that we're talking about, you know, what's going on right now is healing this planet and transmuting or transitioning away from the kind of leadership and profiteering that is destroying it. And none of us really knows. I mean, that, the Occupy movement doesn't really know how it's going to shift or maneuver, you know, the political change or the sociological change that we must, you know, catalyze. No one really, I think, understands yet how it's going to happen. Everybody is having faith in the organic process.
Well, I sure do. you know. And I think that really when in a literal way, when you're working with things like flowers and stuff, you know, it's, I forgot where I was going with it because I'm sorry I'm high. And I, you know how, like, you go in that high loop and it, like, kicks you into the next place sometimes. It has to do with connecting on a planetary level with something that came from the planet in a concrete way. I guess, like, that for me, it's like when you can relate something that you can't even articulate to something that's concrete, that especially has meaning to you, and then look forward with intent, it does affect everything you touch. And consequently, when we're being able to connect now in new in more strong ways, like with Occupy, and also with because of the internet, and weren't you going to talk about something about, it's got some letters to its name, SOPP or something, about the internet? Is there something?
We offlawed SOPA, talking about SOPA, the internet bill that was in Congress, before Congress, that I don't think it hasn't passed. And most of the large companies from the internet that were supporting it have pulled back. We did a scofflaw of it by playing Annie DeFranco and Pete Seeger.
Ah, beautiful. Okay. So that's what I missed in the beginning.
And played her twice, and basically in another so many minutes when we sign off, I'm going to be playing her Do Re Mi, which is another scofflaw at SOPA. It's a form of rebellion. And, you know, this year, you know, a lot of people want, one of the reasons that the media has been so successful at keeping Occupy out of the mainstream news and not getting some more demands for more transparent news, I mean, journalism, actual journalism out of these people.
Yes, well, yeah, there's a concept.
It's because the people are afraid of change. And an Occupy means big change.
Yeah,
you know?
And the cool thing is we're not afraid of change. That's, you know, it's like we're not afraid of that. And that's why when I think of Grandpa in the sky and this hierarchical God, I like to think of John McCain, and I imagine him, you know, the way he was. You remember when John Stewart was making fun of John McCain in the debates, and he was just sort of wandering around the stage, wringing his hands like he was looking for a lost dog or something. And to me, that's like the last remains of the patriarchy. It's like, that's the best you've got, really, is this old, doddering old man. Like, goodbye, patriarchy.
Well, you
hilarious.
If you take a look at the way the Republicans are, look at Rick Santorum. I mean, if that is not one old big sky goblin, I don't know what is. He's really bad stuff. And I think these mystery plays are again on the planet playing out before us to give us the basically open the doorways to the cosmos for us, you know. There's just the something's got to give is on a planetary level now, and critical mass is being reached because of the Occupy movement. Like I said at the beginning, this is the most tangible action I have seen towards what we call in my crowd ascension since I started down this path. And I would ask, I'll ask you, Nick, what do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Within the world, within what everyone knows or doesn't know, and within myself and the things that I understand and I know that I did not understand 5 years ago and was searching for, it's definitely a change. Everything is right there. It's right there, and it's never been like that before, you know. And remember, I lived with a father who was searching for basically his entire life, at least since I got on the planet, for what he was looking for. And, you know, if he had had these tools that we have, who knows what that man could have done, you know. So, yes.
And a lot of people actually point to Rome and speak about, you know, like if you listen to Chris Hedges. Yeah, that's
which
his
I
name.
Which I do, yeah. Yeah,
which
Chris
I do. And I do, too. If you listen to Chris Hedges, who's a very smart spiritual man, you know, banged around by, well, I don't mean banged by, but knocked around by the Jesuits long enough, they're pretty smart guys, too.
Well, you do need to make that distinction with them, however.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Go on.
But here's the thing. He says, you know, this is the collapse of Rome. This is the collapse. Well, I would say as a metaphysician or the old medicine broad that I am, I would say this is the downfall like Miss LaFay does. The downfall of Atlantis all over again. And I can relate to that very strongly because I think I am very Atlantean. I adore the West Coast and Lemurian feelings of the Mother Ocean and the Pacific, but I'm definitely an East Coaster, you know? And I do think this is another fall of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope so. I mean, you know, they had a long enough run, you know, like enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, let's go there.
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing. I mean, so many people cling to the past and this weight of what's been, you know, directing everything for 1,000 years or more. And, you know better than I do. How many years? Anyway, so many years I can't imagine.
Oh,
and, 12,000?
I think it's been 12,000 years. You know what? I think we went through the catastrophe a long time ago. I would point to Barbara Clough's Catastrophobia or Hamlet's Mill or any one of another really wonderfully, intelligently, well-researched books that's been published in the last 10 years that tells us that the Sphinx is not as young as we think it is, and it was aged by water, which would have to have been during the age of Leo 12,000 years, 11,000 so many years ago. We're now at the direct opposite into Aquarius, and that's of course, the conclusion of the 26,000-year jaunt. We're at an evolution point. We're about to slingshot into the cosmos or go down in smoke and ash. That's just where it's at.
And you're saying 12,000 years are that's the patriarchy, right? That's what you're saying.
I am saying that in 12,000, and you know what, in the alignment of destiny and how it walks, perhaps we made that choice so we could re-evolve again to this technological point through industrialization and from hunter-gatherer to warfare to, you know, industrialized. We've created ages, and the ages have created evolution. Have you noticed that mankind's evolution has been leaping? Really huge, big, and especially in the last couple of years, our technology is booming right off the dang. For an example, what iPad are we up to now? Version 3 coming out. Version 2 hasn't even gotten a chance to sell that quickly, but version 3 is already up. We're in an iPhone 4 now. We have Android models too. BlackBerry does a lot of evolution too. The PC laptops are evolving quickly too. Do you understand what I'm saying? Within a year, we've had versions of technology that is bouncing way beyond the first version. And we've had like 2-3 runs in a year. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Sure. Time speeding up. Or we're speeding up, but time is slowing down, right? It's like we just bam, 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 you know?
Well, it does seem like I don't know, it does seem to me as though Occupy began a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it didn't. But it seems so
well, you
long.
Know, Einstein does say that if you are moving faster, time will seem to go slower for you, and if you are moving slower, time seems to go faster for you. So if you're really flying through the consciousness, you know that you can look up and you think at least an hour and a half had to go by, and it's been 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. So I've had the same sensation that it feels like a long time, even though you know on the calendar it hasn't been that long, but so much has happened since that happened, right?
I don't know. You know, I would ask Tricia. Tricia, you're a teacher, and children have internal clocks. You have children around
well,
you.
Well, you know, I live in the same space-time continuum as grown-ups, okay? I have to say, speaking from an early childhood perspective, but I can't even think because you were like just blowing me away because I've been experiencing this whole thing for the last, I don't know, 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Where suddenly it's like time is compressed where I think it's been like a half an hour, but it's only been 4 minutes.
Right.
Okay,
and,
right.
You know, and so, yeah, I mean, like all of a sudden 4 days seems like a long time, you know, but yes, I've been experiencing that and not just when I'm high. And so, I mean, it happens in a real time. You know, but having said all that, the thing that I most appreciate about working with little kids is that you have to live entirely in the now because nothing exists at all whatsoever except in the now. Because if it was a nanosecond ago, like, so what? Because I'm two and I don't care. And that's who I work with.
Right.
And, you know, and... Cool, because you're having to relate with people who, like, have maybe been alive 720 days.
Wow.
Not 1,000 days yet. We have not been on the planet 1,000 days.
Wow.
And look at the information you have assimilated thus far. I mean, astounding what they know. And
wow.
So what I have to do is look at whatever is happening in the world. And actually, it's weird because the first day I was a lead teacher and I assumed this role, I embarked on this career. And my first day of class as a lead teacher at Riverside Church, where you know where I work, at Riverside Church, where Martin Luther King delivered the Times of Break, the silence speech at our house. And so I'm there all the time. And it's my first day, and it's 9/11. And
wow.
So we had to evacuate. The preacher comes on. People are, like, we had to get out, and they're quiet. They're praying and shit. And it was intense. It was intense at 9/11. And that was my first day. And what I had to explain, and I continue to have to explain, is, like, grown-ups do this random shit, and now we have to deal. And... you know, that just depends on whether it's, you know, breakfast is pancakes. Is that ready? Yes. Go help yourself to dinner. I just got involved in a conversation. All right. Thank you, sweetheart. See, that's my own son. He's getting his dinner, which I cooked, but got involved in a conversation with the witches. So anyhow, we were, it's like sometimes grown-ups do random shit, and you have to just deal. And whether that means we're going to move next door now, or this is what's for lunch, or it's been 9/11, it's all equal in the effect that it has on you in the moment. And that's what you have to just meet a little kid there. And so I'm real lucky to, because, like, power of now stuff, and people are saying, I live in the moment. I'm like, well, hello, that's where we are. And so, yeah, I'm just privileged to be there. And, and also the cool thing, too, is, like, I'm on the 7th floor on this bluff over New York City, and the morning sun streams through our the windows into our classroom for, I mean, it's this total sunbeam for, like, 30 feet. And so when you talk about healing white light,
coming at you and just bathing in it in the morning, and then just also just being just letting the little kids. Anyway, it's a beautiful thing, and I just like to put up prisms and have as many rainbows as possible, because what could be better? And yeah, it's just that's the land of the child, and that's who I have to protect and find a path for out of this mess. And you know, like 9/11 was some random shit that grown-ups pulled. I mean, look at this other fucking shit that grown-ups are pulling all the time, like this Barack Obama. And it was so fun to say Barack Obama's name. I'm sorry, I can feel it coming on that I'm pissed at Barack Obama. But like Barack Obama, that's all it was good for. If you're 4 years old and Barack Obama is the president, what has he done besides giving you a name that was fun to say, Barack Obama?
Barack Obama.
An accent.
Yeah, I can imagine. It must be fun in the mouth, you know.
I mean, it
it's
was fucked up. Barack Obama, when Barack Obama was elected president, I was with a bunch of 3.5 and 4 year olds, and they thought that he should have a spaceship. They thought that he would drive a race car. He was gonna, now some thought that Barack Obama was a town in New Jersey. This is true. And ultimately, that is what he has turned out to be. He has been no astronaut. He has been a race car driver. He is a town in New Jersey.
Spoken
and it
like
is polluted. It
Yorker.
Is polluted. You know, good. Fucking goddamn, it's like, what is that pollution they're supposed to clean up from toxic waste? You know the sites they are. Anyway, that's what he is, another. So that's,
oh, that's
the early the perspective on Barack Obama today. From here on 156th Street, I need to go feed my kids.
Cool. So what I have to,
and thank you for stumbling into my life.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tricia. That was great. Good stories.
That was absolutely wonderful. We are at the end of the show. We actually took all 2 hours, Nick, up of our premiere show on this. We'll get more routined or more scheduled or more structured or less structured, less scheduled, and less routine. Whatever.
That's right. We'll see what happens.
The one thing that you and I could do to make things better, I think, in the next week is to let people know, because it's still that New Year's shine going around and a lot of prognostication out there, and amongst it is this ridiculous motherfucking notion, I will talk like Tricia, this motherfucking notion that the Maya calendar, the Zolk'in, is about the apocalypse and the end of the world and such, and it's nothing of the kind. It's simply cosmic shamanic. It's simply cosmic shamanism and astronomical capability. I mean, these guys invented zero. They were not stupid people. And they figured out the heart of heaven, which is, you know, our black hole. They called it Hunabku out there in the Milky Way. And they basically calculated that it would be what the same thing the Greeks found out through the Egyptians, that it's 26,000 years of orbit through all the constellations for our solar system. And that makes a great year. And those are the world ages. And all of this is just rebooting. It's not about the end of the world. The only end of everything is cyclic, though, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then it's the end of a cycle. It's not an end of the whole shebang-a-bang.
No, I think that even if these dumb SOBs who would like to put more soldiers into Israel right now with weapons from our side of the tracks, as it were to send them over there and give them the push and the nudge, I still think it would take a heck of a long time for them to manage to kill all of us and to leave the smoking husk of a planet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, you know, it could take as long as 50 years. But
yeah,
they're doing such an excellent job with just, you know, going after our natural resources. Did you hear about that earthquake in Ohio? the last few days?
No.
Yeah, well, you're getting them too. It turns out that probably it's not geostructure, but fracking, sending gases and liquids and chemicals into the earth to try and push natural gas up. That's what's going on over there, and they've apparently shifted some plates doing it. And so, you know, rock and roll.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll go, oh, wait, maybe we shouldn't do that. I mean, you know?
Well, I really, like we began this all with, you know, it really is about the, it focuses on greed and money, and that sucks. It's just not worth it. We need to evolve beyond it, and I think Occupy has pinpointed it for a damn good reason, and bringing it. Yeah, we'll be back in a week, right?
Yep, absolutely. Looking forward to it. By the way, speaking of emptying trash and things, I just need to share this with you. I am, as we speak, emptying from the trash 586,000 things. Why? Because word to the wise, do not turn on Time Machine, because that thing is a monster. And it will clog up your whole system.
With Mac.
Yes.
I never did. Well, good word wise. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that good info. Okay. Well, I will say goodnight to everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Please tune in to the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and I. Generally, Jack's with us. And next Monday to Wise Woman Media with Anita Stewart and her guests. She's on at 8 p.m. on Monday evenings. And I'm not quite sure what time, but Manny Jalowski from The Independent in Brooklyn will have his show podcasted, and we'll broadcast it for you on Here Be Monsters Wednesday next. So, Nick, thank you. For being
with
you. And we'll be back next Thursday, and I'll play us out of here with little Annie DeFranco, right?
Great. See you all next week.
Next week, darling. And thanks, everybody, for stopping in to listen to us. Really appreciate it. Thank you to Tricia Poole for making us laugh and making us smile and giving us her wisdom this evening. Really appreciate it.
And Krell for calling in, too. That was great.
Yes, and David Williams, thank you so much for calling in. And also the good folks over at Spokane, Occupy Spokane, Nick and
Lynn.
Nick and Lynn. And their show is in the
chat room.
It's nouns that go first. And Annie, play us out of here.
Go, Annie.
So we thought we'd do a Woody Guthrie song here. Folks back east, they say, leaving home every day, beating the hot old dusty way out to the California night. Across the desert sands they roll, trying to get out of that old dust bowl. They think they're going to a sugar bowl, but this is what they find. Police at the port of entry say, you're number 14,000 for today. And if you ain't got the dough, rain me. If you ain't got the dough, Remy, you better go back to your beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. Vacations by the mountains or the sea. old cow for a car. You might want to stay right where you are. Take a little advice from me. Cause I read the one end every day. Oh, and the headlines in the papers always say, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee.
Thank you for being with us, and we'll see you next week. Thank you, Nick.